All right. Well, we're privileged today to have my boss, Reverend Wendell Brown. Before he was my boss, he was my colleague, still is, but he was in our Coke group, and we shared fellowship, and I was struck by his heart, passion, and vision. He's a good one. He's a good one. And trust me, he is. I've had lots of bosses and DSs and top shelf right here. And he's brought a friend with him, Jarrett Gaston, whose father I played baseball with back in my college days. We kind of, I don't know that I played well, but I played with your father, who could hit a long ball very hard. And so Wendell's doing a neat thing, because with some of our, and we've got a lot of licensed ministers here, we've got ordained, but in the track, Wendell's decided to take some of the younger people with him when he goes out and speaks, and to include them as just a way to interact and also to speak. So I think Jarrett's going to contribute today in the message. So Pastor Wendell, would you please come, and let's give him a really warm, warm welcome. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Love you. Bless you. Well, it really is great to be with you today, and I do bring you greetings of 64 congregations in 22 counties across Ohio that you're a part of. This weekend, about 12,000 of us will gather to worship the Lord together, and God is moving in great ways. Aren't you glad God is moving? Here's a couple snippets. Would you believe that across our 22 counties, we led more people to Christ this last year, more, and our year ended May 31st, by the way, okay, of this year. We led more people to Christ this year than we have in 13 years in those churches. Ready for another one? We actually baptized more people than we have since 1976. How about that? And year over year, 22% more people in person, not online, in person, were discipled this year. 22% more this year than last year are taking next steps in following Jesus Christ into heart holiness. Isn't that awesome? That's pretty cool. Pretty cool. You're a great part of that, and you're a great church. Can I tell you that you have one of the best leaders in the entire Church of the Nazarene in Pastor Nathan and Dixie? And I might even say one of the best staffs as well. I've never met a friendlier or more missional staff than what you have. And by the way, you're a really friendly church. Very friendly. Every time I'm here, everybody is always smiling. I love getting to be here. In fact, I wish that I lived in Worcester, because you would be my church. I would love to come every Sunday and sit under Pastor Nathan's leadership. You're blessed. Today, I want to talk about you, actually, as an individual, for just a minute. And I want to start by telling you a story. I was in the 82nd Airborne Division during the first Gulf War. I played basketball in high school. I was all state. I played 1 year in college till I met this really beautiful woman who married me. And I said, well, I'd rather be with her maybe than play basketball. And she could not be with me today. She's at a family event. But I was in the Army. Coming out of high school, I was this pretty confident guy. And thought, man, this is going to be easy. I can handle basic training. I was at Fort Knox, Kentucky, and I get off the bus that you know, pipes us in. And there's some things that you have to do on day one. They take kind of an assessment of you. And so the drill sergeant, his name was Pramos, Drill Sergeant Pramos, on day one says, I want to know how many years of school you've had. And so he used this example. If you graduated high school and went to 1 year of college, give me the number 13. High school is 12. If you went anything above, tell me how many years above you went. He said, if you graduated college, tell me 14, you know, tell me, excuse me, 16. He said, just give me the exact number that you have. So the first guy up is Private Jones. Private Jones steps up, and the drill sergeant says, Private Jones, how many years of school have you been to? And he said, 14, drill sergeant. He said, 14, first guy. So you graduated high school and went to 2 years of college, correct? He said, no, drill sergeant, I flunked the second and the fourth grade. He said, drop you dummy, and off it went. Well, guess who the next guy was? Wendell Brown. And I step up, and you always had to say this, Drill Sergeant Pramos, Private Brown requests permission to speak. So, I'd played sports, I'd been yelled at, but not like this before. And I said, Drill Sergeant Pramos, and he interrupted me, and beep, 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 what are you screaming, I mean, right in my face. And I got turned around, and I said, because he stopped and he said, what did you say, Private? And I said, Private Pramos. I called my drill sergeant a private on day one. Drop you dummy, and off it went, right? It got so bad, I hope I don't offend anyone with this. Jones and Brown were the guys that were messing up that day. And as he hit the door to the barracks, he was so angry. I mean, I'm sure it was a little hyperbole, but he hit the door and he said, bunch of dummies in here. I'm going to go in the Jones and take a Brown. That's specifically what he said about me. Now, I don't want my name associated with that. And I thought, man, I've got work to do. So here's this confident guy who on day one is like, man, I just want to go home. I want to go home. Anybody ever felt like you're capable, but then realized maybe you weren't as much as you thought? Or have you ever struggled with feeling capable at all? Maybe you feel like, well, I can't do much. Maybe you've struggled with feeling capable of anything. Maybe you've got stage fright. You say, I'd never talk in front of someone. I'd never sing in front of anyone. I'm not as smart as he is. I'm not as beautiful as she is. I don't have the money that they do. I'm not as gifted athletically. I didn't have their parents. I didn't come from that background. I've not been worth anything in my life. It's how I've always felt. I've struggled with this sin. I don't feel like I'm worth very much at all. Can I just tell you today confidently that the world can look at you and based on your appearance, your background, your financial situation, the world may look at you and think you cannot accomplish much. But can I remind you today that you do not need the opinion of the world? The world may look at you and think you've got it all together. You've got the appearance. You've got the background. You've got all of it. But maybe inside you think, I don't know that I do. Or maybe you have felt capable in your life and you haven't even recognized as a believer where that capability is coming from. If you've ever wanted to know in your life if you're capable or not of doing something great for God, I want to give you a test today that you can use for the rest of your life. You ready? Ready? Everybody ready? You didn't seem as ready. Everybody ready? All right, here we go. Here we go. Oh, this is good. I want you to say with your whole heart, and if you can mean it with every fabric of your being, if you can say, Jesus is Lord, like I know he is Lord over this world. I have no doubt about it. Jesus is the Lord of this world and of my life. If you believe that with your whole heart, would you please just say that rather confidently today with me? You ready? Jesus. Let me read to you out of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, and I want you to catch this. No one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Hold on. That means if you said it with every fabric of your being, do you know what's going on inside of you? You have the Spirit of Christ living in you. And greater is he that is in you than anything in the world. Amen? You have the Spirit of the living God who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. The word says that apart from him, we can do nothing, but with him, woo-hoo-hoo. Look out, world. In fact, Romans 8:9 says, that if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you do not belong to Christ. So the litmus test of whether we are capable or not depends on our ability to say, Jesus is Lord. If we say that confidently, then that means He can do much through our lives. The question is, are we letting Him? Now, you're not in the world. If you've received Jesus Christ into your life, His Spirit living in you, the Word says we pass from death to life. And actually, Paul takes it a step further and says that the things on the earth are spiritually discerned. So in other words, we recognize that if the Spirit of Christ is living in us, it's not flesh and blood that we're wrestling against, it's principalities and powers that exist in the spiritual realm. And so even an errant word from someone or a put down or anything in our lives that could derail our confidence, we recognize this is not physical, this is spiritual. This is the enemy trying to detour me from mission. Everybody with me? So we need to understand that. We need to live in that. So it doesn't matter what the world's opinion of you is if you're a born-again believer. It doesn't matter, students, what your teacher's opinion is of your capability. It doesn't matter what your friends think, your family. It doesn't even matter what you've done or haven't done. If Jesus is living in you, you are capable of turning this thing around. You may have let some people down in your life. You may have failed miserably, but you have something greater in you that the world has never known. Something greater than failed relationships or attempts or regrets. You have Jesus. And according to Romans 5, there is a hope that will not disappoint you because of that. You're capable of living a productive life for the glory of God. You are capable of being used for far more than you ever dreamed. Now, I'd like to personalize it for us this morning. Will you just say with me, I am capable? Will you say that? I am capable. See, I knew you were good for something. I knew it. I knew it. We have a theme on our district that started in July. The theme is community, and it's later on in 1 Corinthians 12. It's verse 27, but it goes like this. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. What does community mean? Community means a fellowship of unified people with a common characteristic that are linked by a common goal. Our common characteristic is the Spirit of Christ, and our common goal, well, we'll get to it in just a second, but it is this, that the Spirit and the spiritual gifts that God has given are given for the common good, to have the world move forward, because the Word says that the ministry of reconciliation is given to the church. So it's our job to take this good message to the world, and we are certainly capable of doing so with the help of Jesus Christ. Would you do me a favor and would you welcome Jarrett Gaston, who's going to take over at this time? Would you welcome him?
And so, as Wendell said, my name is Jarrett Gaston. As you know, your pastor has said, already messing up on the first time. But as your pastor said, that he is very close to my dad. They team together, and really a focus on this entire focus of community is really what he really spoke about. No matter if you could hit the ball very far or if you couldn't, or no matter how the team was, I have no idea. He only brags about it 90% of the time, whenever it comes up, which I try to avoid. But this whole focus of community and what we are doing as a capable people is precisely what Paul is writing about in 1 Corinthians. Now, as I read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 11, I'll also break down of there are three parts that I see throughout this chapter as a whole. That Paul is writing just as a showing moment of how we are capable. First, it shows that we are a capable people because we have qualified gifts. Then it breaks down these diverse gifts. Then finally, it shows how we as the whole body and members of the body depend and love each other and how we should be. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 11 first states that, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or another you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one say, 'Jesus is,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are many kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in everyone, is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another faith, miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking between different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them each to one as just as he described." Now, this kind of goes back to this whole theme of community, where it shows that we are a capable people and how we are to be reacting as such. First, I like to say, like, when it comes to us being a capable people, we first recognize our differences. It really breaks down in chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. And here's how we break this down, is how do we look at people? For we are all different. What I love within our notes is that, you know, some people tend to annoy us. So there's, 42-ish muscles that it takes to frown at someone. But say if Pastor Wendell would annoy me about Alabama or anything when it comes to college football in general, because I'm a baseball guy, not a football guy, but it only would take 4 muscles to just smack him upside the head. I'm just saying, just because I want to sometimes doesn't mean I should. Don't worry, I won't. But it doesn't matter with that, for we are all created perfect by design. And I told Pastor Wendell this before we came up here. We are all created perfect by design, but we are ultimately flawed in nature. The second point that we want to be focusing on is really this intentional foundation of a capable people, of us recognizing how much we need to depend on one another. We are not an island, or we are not on an island, alone, isolated. Because the enemy thrives when we put ourselves apart from one another, apart from where God is leading. And the Spirit of God leads when we grow in community with one another as we grow in relationship with him. There are some things I'm good at, some things I'm not, one of them being baseball. Because of athletics. Because of life. There's things I can do my dad can't do, and there's things my dad can do that I've never been able to. The pathway to understanding our capability is to first understand our limitations.
Right.
Because God didn't give you every gift or every ability because we still need to depend on him. And on top of that, God did not give you every gift made for mankind, no matter what you may think or no matter how much you may try. Because community with other people, with other gifts, allow us to feed off of one another. So with that, we can grow in community, which allows for accountability as we make through our walk. Now, in school at Ohio Christian University, where I attend right now, and I'll be graduating very shortly, we like to break things down and really go into different commentaries of seeing what is the author saying. And Paul's saying, when it comes to this opportunity of a difference of gifts, Craig Keener says this: Paul emphasizes that all the gifts are different, but all useful. Hence, a Christian with one gift is not more or less important than another Christian with a different gift. Because I don't have every spiritual gift ingrained in my life or the decisions that I make. So what does that mean? I need others. I need people like Wendell. I need people like my home church pastor in Mount Vernon. I need people like my professors at school, like my peers, like everyone in our community, because we build off of each other so then we can experience the same thing, so then we can achieve all that God is wanting us to do, all throughout our differences.
Amen. Amen.
We are called to do things together as a united people. Again, we are not on an island made to be isolated, but instead, it allows for the roots of our lives to understand our differences. So as a reminder, we are a capable people.
Amen.
The first point that we need to remind ourselves on a daily basis is that we need to recognize the differences of one another. And on top of that is to also understand our own limitations. And one thing, and the last point before Wendell comes and takes over to finish up with the rest of this message is that capable people do not become jealous of one another. Instead, we recognize the capability of others through what Jesus gives to us.
Amen. Amen. Give it up for Jarrett, would you? Good job. Yeah, part of that is when we understand who we are, the capability that God has given us, we're not jealous of others because we know also what we're capable of through Christ, right? And through that is this understanding that I think is hard for us sometimes as Christians. And quite honestly, it's hard for a lot of people if we've ever struggled with our capability or feeling or understanding our value or worth, and that is that people actually need what you have to offer them. Like, this world needs what you have to offer them. We look at everybody that achieves greatness. We look at people that seem to speak with eloquence or that have the right look or whatever, and we think, boy, they're phenomenal. And we on purpose put ourselves in categories, the world does, to help us understand our lane. And I want you to know that the world imposes those lanes on us. God does not. God comes to blow those lanes out of the water and to say anything is possible through me. So I want you to understand today that in the history of the world, you're the only you that's ever lived. Your DNA has never been repeated. Your fingerprints have never been repeated. It's 180 billion people that have walked the face of the earth, and you're one of them. And you were created, knitted together in your mother's womb, as the word says, created for this moment in time for the year 2024. It isn't happenstance. It wasn't an accident. God didn't make a mistake. He placed you here right now for a reason. And my question to you is, are you stepping into that or are you running away from it? Because through the Spirit of Christ, a capable, competent person says, I've got something to do. And there is something for every one of you to do in Christ. You are gifted, you are special, and you are unique. God made you that way. Shame on us if we don't recognize it. But please hear me. Shame on you if you sit on the sidelines and don't do anything with the capability that God has given you. Faith without works is what? It's what James said. So don't just say, well, they never asked me. Don't say that. Don't say, well, I would, but, you know, they never seem to look my direction. Use your passion and be involved in the mission of God. Others need what you have to offer them. And there are people in your life that you're the only person that can lead them to Jesus Christ. That's why they're in your life. Capable people, they recognize their differences. Capable people, they recognize that others need them. And then capable people, boy, they're willing to face some challenges. They're willing to face challenges. I've never seen anyone achieve greatness in their life without looking at their challenges as opportunities. People willing to face challenges understand that there is something greater to exist for. I mean, verse 7 of our text said, now to each is the manifestation of the Spirit, and it is given for the common good. It's not easy, but the common good. Capable people recognize that it's not about them. It's about what God wants to do through them. It's about where people will end up. And I know sometimes, hear me, I know this never happens at Worcester Church, but we've got other churches around that I get to see sometimes. And I know sometimes it's really easy to get our feelings hurt. I know it is. I served and I didn't get a thank you. I gave my heart to that, and it seemed like no one appreciated that. I'll tell you a true story. When I was pastoring, we were growing like gangbusters. My dad was a minister, a Church of the Nazarene minister. My dad in 08 got arrested. It was a horrific thing, awful. It wrecked my life, wrecked my family, and I'm so thankful for what Jesus has done in my life as a result of that. But, you know, imagine going your whole life and looking at your father as your hero, only to discover that throughout your whole life, there was something deep and dark that he was hiding your whole life. Imagine that. And that was me at in my 30s. I watched as my whole world kind of changed. And from in 08, I remember the day I was very proud that my dad was my dad, and the very next day I was embarrassed. I didn't want anybody to know who my dad was. And I remember very well just the struggle from 08 to 11 that I lived through as my father then passed away in 2011. I'm pastoring a church. We're growing. Man, I've been there. I remember in a two-day span, I did 4 funerals for families just to make sure I could be there for them. I'd been there at 2 in the morning. I'd done everything, Pastor Nathan, that a pastor should do. And my dad passes away, and it deeply affected me in 2011. And do you know how many people in my church sent me a card of condolences? You know how many people in my church did? Church of about 600? One. Now, people said, hey, Pastor Wendell, we're sorry. We're praying for you. As I saw them, they were cordial. I'm not throwing stones there in any direction. I am saying that the enemy for a minute in my life used that to say, hey, Wendell, people don't care about you. People don't care what you do for them. People, look, you sacrifice. What are you doing all that for? They're not interested in you. And I know sometimes we feel underappreciated. I know sometimes we're not recognized for what we do. I know sometimes no thank you comes in the mail. But the enemy wins when we wallow in self-pity. And if we did it for Jesus Christ, quit expecting a thank you from others. The only thank you we need is to get to heaven and see Jesus face to face and have Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. Whatever you did it for the Lord. That's what the Lord taught me in the midst of all of it. I did it because I love him and I love people and I want people in heaven. Just be a blessing and don't worry about getting the blessing. How's that? That's a good principle. Just be a blessing and don't worry about getting the blessing. Now, not every Christian is called to full-time ministry, but we're all called to work and to serve. And you may have, so if capable people are willing to face challenges, you may actually have some gifts that are waiting to be discovered. You may. I will tell you that the first church I ever pastored, we had 17, Pastor Nathan. 5 of them were my family. Woo! Big church. And we grew to 100. I went from 17 to 100. I don't know how to pastor a church of 100. Second church I pastored was 140, and we grew to 350. I didn't know how to pastor a church of 350. I didn't have the administrative skills. I didn't. The last church I pastored, 400, we grew to about 1,200. I didn't know how to pastor a church of 1,200, but you know, want to know what I did? I sat on the front row every Sunday before every service and said, God, I don't know what I'm doing, but if you can do it through me, would you please use me for your glory? Now, listen to me. There are challenges in your life, but there is no doubt that one of the things that I struggle with is when we take a spiritual gifts analysis. I'm not knocking them. Listen to me. Let me finish. Spiritual gifts analysis or Strength Finder or APEST or all of these tools that are available, and then we say things like this: I don't have that gift. That's not my gifting. That's not, God didn't give me that gift. Can I just tell you with a heart full of love that there is no end to the gifting that God can give you? If he calls you to it, he will empower you to do it. He's just looking for people to say, if you can use anything, God, you can use me. So don't be siloed. Trust God. If you have a passion, step into it and let the filling of the Holy Spirit give you what you need. If he calls you, the word said, if he calls you, he's faithful and he will do it. That's what the word says. So verse 11 says that God gives those as he determines, and the same text says that they're given for acts of service. So when you say yes to God, who knows what God could do in your life, okay? Well, I know, pastor told me that I had till 2 today, but I don't think we have enough room for the second service, so I'm gonna finish. I want to tell you a story. This is about my dear friend Mark. And this is about embracing challenges. This is about giving gifts that we didn't know we had. Mark graduated from seminary. He became a youth pastor. Mark is about this tall. He's now more silver-headed than red-headed, but redheaded and freckled everywhere. And Mark graduates seminary, becomes a youth pastor in St. Louis, Missouri, at a church in the hood, a block away from where like 30 high school boys are shooting hoops all day. Mark said, I had never played basketball except once in my whole life. And I am praying, God, what do I need to do to reach these people? He said, as I'm praying, the Lord gave me the name. And the Lord told me that there was a guy on the court, said, just really impressed it upon me. His name was Will, and he was the best basketball player on the court. And God, in prayer, Mark said, I'll do anything, God. What do you want me to do? And God said, Mark, I want you tomorrow on Saturday to go to the basketball court and challenge Will to a game of horse. Only picked up a basketball once in his life. He said, so I did, knees knocking and everything. He said, I stepped up to the court. Nobody had ever seen me. He said, I don't fit in with the group that's at the court. And he said, I walked up and said, hey, somebody told me that Will is the best basketball player out here. Is that right? And everybody, all those 30 young men said, oh, yeah, Will's the guy. And he said, okay. He said, I'm the new youth pastor at the church a block away. He said, here's the deal. He said, Will, I challenge you to a game of horse. And he said, Will, if I win, here's the bet. If I win, you've got to bring all 30 of your friends to youth group tomorrow night. He said, but if you win, I will buy everybody here a steak dinner. And all of his friends were like, Will, go, you can do this, Will. And Mark said it was even scarier. He said, God didn't tell me steak dinner. He said, quite honestly, I didn't have the money for steak dinner. He said, but I stepped up and said, maybe God can do it. He stepped on the court. They gave him a basketball. Will took the bet. And he cannot explain it, but he hit every single bucket Mark did. And Will missed every single one. That Sunday night, Will came to church. And that Sunday night, Will gave his heart to Jesus Christ. He said, but it gets even better. He said, do you know before I left there, Will led all 30 of those young men to Jesus Christ. They all became believers before I left. I asked him, where's Will? He said, Will passed away a few years ago. He said, but if I had to guess, he said, I'd guess Will probably led 5,000 people to Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Would you stand with me? You know the thing I know? The world is very content to let the church kind of just stay in four walls. God is quite content to let the church out of the four walls and to go make a huge difference in the world. And maybe there are some of you who haven't felt like you're worth very much. Hear me. You're not here by accident today. This is God saying to you, I can do all things through you, and I'll give you the strength to do it. This is that moment. Some of you maybe have sat on the sidelines for too long, and you need God to direct you to what is next in your life. This is that moment for you.